Hey everyone, welcome to episode 36 of the Passion Effect podcast. I'm Jack Pittman, and on each episode, we discuss the passion of high performance. We talk to athletes, scientists, politicians, and everyone in between to uncover the habits, motivations, and steps that they took to discover their passions. My guest on today's episode, I'm so excited, is Mark DiPaoli. He's a passionate football fan and up-and-coming football commentator. Mark is a host of Football for TF, Football for the Fans YouTube channel. He is a communications and journalism student at the University of Technology, Sydney. And in 2021, he was made lead commentator and interviewer of the Blacktown District Soccer Football Association here in Sydney, Australia. Mark, welcome to the Passion Effect podcast. So great to have you, man.
I'm excited to be here, Jack. Avid listener of your podcast, as I'm sure all of your listeners are. And I can't wait to have a conversation with you.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. I've been subscribed to your YouTube channel now for almost a year now. I came across your interview with Craig Foster, who's obviously a big Australian football icon. And as soon as I saw you there, I thought you were very special, and I know you're going to go places. And that's why I'm really excited to have you on the podcast. So keep up the great work.
I appreciate that. I was very on top of my advertising for that video particularly. And if people follow me across all social medias, they definitely saw that post more than once. So I'm glad that that video got around particularly.
Wondering if you could tell our listeners how you came to discover your passion for football and commentating. Where'd it all start?
So I was always brought up to be active, and I'm Italian Maltese background. So my family were always pretty invested. Around 2010 particularly, started to gain more interest, more use of YouTube, and I was discovering things and played the game FIFA on my phone. And then all of a sudden, Sydney FC, my team, and they signed a particular player called Alessandro Del Piero, a Juventus legend out in Turin in Italy. And that Italian mix and just the genius and this thing that revived our A-League inspired me. So then I got into commentating when I realized I was talking too much during games and my family couldn't stand watching games with me. And I thought, why don't I just turn this into something?
What is it about the game of football that you love then?
Football is particularly paced in a way that allows me to not only talk about the game and the purity of what's happening on the pitch between 22 players. You know, if somebody is passing around the back, I can talk about the history of the club, the history of the stadium, the history of owners, managers, of players themselves. And I like that. For me, as someone who was so inspired by internationals coming to our game and internationals coming to Australia that built our game, it's the foundations of the modern day game here in Australia. People's background and their story was something huge to my commentating. And so when I'm doing my semi-professional level commentating out for BDSFA, Blacktown District Soccer Football Association, huge amounts of different, it's very diverse, that league is what I'm trying to say. And when I go to games 3-4 hours early and I speak to every single coach, manager, player, for example, physio, that's what I learn. That's what I take the most interest in. So that's why I think I like football, is because when there's slow moments, I can talk about things that I think are really important from a human aspect and a sports aspect.
And as you mentioned there, you're right. The game has become so international. I think football, especially, it's such a global sport. It brings people together, doesn't it? During times of not just good times, but also tough times as well.
Absolutely. When we had that first, COVID lockdown that was worldwide before we all started going off in our own separate directions, I remember it was the Bundesliga, the German league, that came back first, and everybody in the world watched this one game between Schalke and Dortmund. And there was something unifying about everybody talking about this one game because it was all we had. And it was just awesome. And I think that was something that pulled me through my own lockdown. I think as well, there's a good football community online as well. I think that there's something that was great about this football community that helped us get through dark times. Absolutely.
Were there any football commentators in particular that inspired you?
The most memorable moments for me that made me remember the commentary more than the goal, and I like that, Martin Tyler, very, very experienced, coming towards his twilight now, but giving us some of the greatest English league and also a European league commentating that I've ever seen. It's symbolic, it's riveting, it was passionate, it was also so well said in the moment, that you can remember every change in tone, every squeak of the voice, every moment where you can see him getting up out of his chair. So Martin Tyler, Peter Drury has a particular way of words. He's more modern. He's given us some fantastic moments. And here home in Australia, I think Simon Hill. So he's someone else I've spoken to in interview form. He's fantastic. And he's a Brit that came over to here and started everything for our A-League, and particularly when we made it to the World Cup for the first time in just over 30 years. He was there and his voice was heard and forever will be ingrained.
Mark, is commentating one of those things where you sort of take a little bit from every commentator and then that's your style? Or how do you go about commentating in terms of finding your style and the way that you articulate the game?
AFL commentators, you know, particular moments, the mark, right? There's something huge about that, right? Or the ridiculous 50-meter out goal. That's when they get passionate. Or tennis, it's the subtleties and the how quickly they have to get information and facts and talk about slow motion replays in between points. So you have to be on it constantly, have something ready to go. There's something I took from there. Being able to feel what is happening in a physical contact sport like NRL as well, I think. I think the NRL commentators do really well there. Even like something like basketball, the hype that they have, I think it's more of an Americanization thing. And I think taking each, you know, the mark from the AFL or the subtleties of tennis is what I've tried to bring into my commentating, yes.
You talk there about subtleties. Would you say then that commentating isn't always about talking, but rather about moments of silence and then moments of heightened emotion? Is that how you see it?
For me, I talk a whole lot more when I'm doing my YouTube live streams. When I'm working for BDSFA, and when I one day work, hopefully in our professional leagues or abroad, there's a difference there. There could be more pauses in play. Or if I have a co-commentator, easier to bounce off. And I think that's good for conversation. But particularly when I'm on my own, I do have to keep it pretty constant. Because if you go back and watch my streams without watching the game at the same time, if there are breaks, it can be a bit more difficult. But yes, absolutely. For most people, aside from my channel, but for most instances, 99% of them, yes, absolutely, that those are important.
As a commentator, how do you create excitement and emotion within people watching? How do you see the role as a commentator?
In football, because a goal is typically so rare, I know that there are outlying games where you'll have more goals than that. So, you know, it's a very low-scoring game. And moments like that are usually very definitive of the final outcome. And so for me, and as someone who is so passionate about football, those moments bring excitement with themselves. But in saying that, there is also something about me that I think appreciates how a goal is scored or how a team scores a goal, how you sort of break down a defense. And I think, again, it's two things here. When it comes to my YouTube, the good thing about people on my YouTube channel, Football for the Fans, is that people watch me instead of the game, which is different because when I'm doing work for BDSFA, people watch the game and just listen to me. So it's easy to get hyped up if I can match the emotion of a goal when the game is being streamed. But if I can also be animated in the way that I talk and interact with people, for example, in my live chat who just watch me, a bit of humor sort of goes into that as well. But I have to translate it for YouTube. And I would say very much, even at 3 a.m. in the morning, I get very, very animated and excited. So me and what I do on screen also matches what comes from my voice box. And I think that helps.
So, Mark, tell us, you started Football for the Fans, as you say, where the fans come for everything football. We love it. I'm a subscriber. Why did you start the channel?
So I needed to start the channel because I wanted to prove to myself and also build my skills in commentating. So I do it for a couple of months and then suddenly this opportunity comes around. It was as simple at BDSFA Facebook post that said, hey, we want someone to be our ground announcer, play music when we score goals, for example. Plugged my YouTube channel, all of a sudden, hey, there's a commentating opportunity. Why don't you take it? And now I would say that my position at BDSFA is very good. I do a lot of work outside of that, social media related stuff, et cetera. So I wanted it to be able to build a portfolio, but also be able to improve my skills because I'd never done it. I never sat down and commentated a game. So I thought, okay, I'll do it. My most viewed video, it is quite clearly the A-League Grand Final between my beloved Sydney FC and Melbourne City right at the end of 2020. And when I realized that there was an international audience that was sitting there with me and my friend Brighton, who I owe many videos to with, that was when I realized, yeah, there is something more than just building a portfolio here. There is an international audience that's interested, and I like that.
And I think you're right there. You talk about putting yourself in the situation where you can gain hands-on experience and learn from that. What's your advice then to people who might want to start a YouTube channel focused around their passions?
Well, look, I'll tell you now, my YouTube channel took a whole lot of effort, time, and money. It did. But once I made the decision and I decided to be consistent with it, I found myself enjoying it. My very first stream, you might scroll back down, I had my hair tied in a front ponytail like this, and I had my computer covered with a sticky note, and I had the two logos of Teams playing and a microphone. That was it. And now my streams have live feeds of my subscriber count. It has me. It has a moving background constantly. It has the score line, the time that we're up to. It has a live chat feature, and it has the starting 11 players. So look, my advice would be, if you're going to do something, you have to start it and commit to it fully and then keep going. It's gotten me to what I wanted, which was another job where I can continue building. But my advice is, if you have an idea, go for it.
Mark, I've seen little snippets of your live streams, and I know some of them can be quite long, up to 3, 4, or 5 hours, up late at night. How do you stay engaged throughout such a long period of time?
Okay, Jack. Well, my honest answer, and to all the viewers out here, you're allowed to laugh. Some energy drinks that I'm starting to use more now. But at the same time, if you also want an answer that is true, and I do mean this, is that because I'm so interested and invested in what I'm doing, when you have people that are there for you at whatever time in the morning or the afternoon or whatever they are doing in the midst of their lives to listen to me, there is a responsibility to produce. And I will do that, because the point of my YouTube channel is to be here if you can't watch the game, because I will give you commentary that brings out the game. But I'll also make it enjoyable for the average viewer without swearing my head off, for example. I don't do that, never have, not once, not, and I won't. So recently, some energy drinks, and truly and deeply, it's a desire to do what I want to do.
You know, throughout such a long period of time, do you ever run out of things to say when you're commentating? And what does the preparation look like for these live streams?
Live streams, the preparation is huge. When I'm doing a live stream between Manchester United and Manchester City, there's information in abundance. And so I will sit down hours beforehand and I will plan, not for all of the teams playing. So usually the best games happen at 9:30, then there's a middle game, and then there's a late game, which everybody wants to watch. I will tend to do my research for the biggest game. There's research into all three games, but the biggest game I'll put my most amount of focus into, everything from fun facts, quite literally, you don't run out of those. I had a team the other day where their only FA Cup final appearance, and if you're a viewer, you know exactly what that means. Only FA Cup final appearance was against the team they were playing, and they haven't made it back since. It's been 113 years since they made it. It's just things like that. And so when you're able to look that up, it gives you heaps of things to talk about. Plus, because I've been watching for so many years, especially English Premier League, I know players inside and out. I just do nationalities. Again, like I said, massively important to me. Their career trajectory, where they've come from, stories, interviews that I've watched on them. It all helps. So I never run out. Never, ever.
Do you feel like the stories behind the players and the teams help draw people into a game like football that's so universal?
You know, if it's a derby game between two, you know, heated rivals, whether it's a geographic location or, for example, you go over to the Scottish Premier Division and there's a religious element to the heated derby, or it's political. If you go over to Barcelona and Real Madrid, there was a huge political element back in the day. So there's things like that that I know of pretty well because of the time that I've put in over many years. And it does fuel how enjoyable these games are, and to be able to talk about stuff like that.
And I guess it makes you stand out as well.
I hope so. And I'm glad that BDSFA picked up on that and they were willing to entrust me and all my 110 subscribers at the time that they hired me to do their work. And I know for a fact that I have put my best foot forward, absolutely. And in saying that, you know, I don't have a lot of subscribers at the moment, but the subscribers that I do have will sit there or they will contact me because I like to talk to all of them and get to know them. I treat them as my friends because that's what I want to build. Like I said, a community. It's not fake. It's not to build profile. It's to expand and learn about football in other places. It's great to hear your channel deserves so much more attention. I'm going to share it. Or I wish this had more subscribers so we could get more live chats. That's what I like. And I hope that that's what I can keep doing and keep attracting people to the channel and this little community I'm building.
Is it fair to say, Mark, that your YouTube channel has strengthened your passion for football and commentating?
Absolutely. It's now the only way I sort of watch football. I sit there and I listen to commentators and I go, damn, I wish I had the ability to think of that. How can I get there? I will sit here, not regularly, but occasionally I will sit and I will look at a thesaurus of words that you get used the most in football, particularly when you score a goal. Sumptuous finish is always used so much, so I'd like to expand on that. But that's all part of it.
Mark, as I mentioned earlier, the first video I ever saw from your channel was your podcast interview with Craig Foster. I don't know how I discovered it, but it came up on my YouTube and I was very glad I did. It was very fascinating. What did you learn from that conversation with Australian football icon like Craig Foster in not only about football, but in commentating?
Craig Foster is and has been, and I'm really glad he signed up to our new A-League broadcasters, Channel 10 and Paramount Plus, because it's been different to see him out of it after his exceptional days at SBS. He is such a good human being. If you go back and watch that video, I very particularly talk about his work with involved in human rights and his work where he combined football and human rights. There was a player, a semi-professional player by the name of Hakeem El Arabi, and he was basically a refugee, and we let him down here in Australia. And long story short, again, if you can go and watch the video or read about his story, but Craig was significant, crucial in saving this man and his family from torture, from just not being able to live together. On the commentary and analysis side, he has never not once backed down. He has always had a commitment, especially with his fellow employee in the studio, Lucy Zelich, always a massive commitment to pronouncing names properly. So look, that was the inspiration. And to hear him talk about where the league needed to be, where Australian football needed to be, and how we're going to get to where we need to be, looking at it now, 12 months later, we're heading in the right direction. And I'm glad that he's there to broadcast it all for us.
We've got the Socceroos playing 2022 in Qatar World Cup. We've got the Matildas on the women's side playing in 2023. What are your thoughts on the future of Australian football on the men and women's side?
Let's begin with the women's game, because I'd love to, first and foremost, find a way to either stop calling it the women's game or start calling the men's game the men's game. Because I, from someone who watches both, goes to both, supports both, talks to players of both, and works with players of both, I dislike having to sit here and say football and women's football. I reckon one day we should get to men's football and women's football. That'd be great. And I think very subtly, that would be a huge move in the right direction. Second of all, the fact that we are co-hosting the 2023 Women's World Cup is genuinely fantastic. We've got all of the right stadiums, and the final here in Sydney is fantastic. 80,000 strong at ANZ. I know it will be that way. The women's game is coming in leaps and bounds. It wasn't too long ago before I could really grasp how football behind the scenes off the pitch worked, that the highest paid W League player was getting paid 20,000 a season for a 13-game season. It's not enough. It's ridiculous. These girls, they juggle so much more than just football. And for me, it's inspiring. So I'm glad to see that the league is progressing whilst also, as it gets better, more players are going to play in the top leagues in the world. Nothing wrong with that. Happens in the men's game as well. But the league is progressing. More money is coming in. It's being visited more. And the recent success of the Matildas all the way through to young and junior and future level has been fantastic. So I think that by the time we make the 2023 World Cup and we're hosting it here, I really hope that we're there at the final. Because it will be so good for football in this country, tourism as well, post-COVID. And I hope I'm there to cover it in some way or another. Otherwise, I'll be supporting it mad. Now, moving on to the men, I like how the Socceroos are being controlled by Arnold through Socceroos to Joey's level, because if he's here long-term, then he's instilling the way he wants to play on the youngest so they can play to the way he wants to play, all the way through until they progress into the first team. And I like that, and I think that's positive. I think it gives clear communication and pathway for players. I like that we've dipped into our back pocket a little bit and we've gone after players who weren't born, haven't even visited Australia, but have the right to play for us legally. It's grandparent, it's parent, grandparents, or born in the country or have a citizenship that you can play. So there's a couple that have played for us now that are born and based in Scotland and England, respectively, for example. So I like where we're going there. I think it's great that we have now Paramount Plus and Channel 10 on our side with the right people signed up to do it. And I think the league should be heading back to where it was even 5 years ago, I really hope.
And I think a lot of people will be pleased to hear that Australian football, both men and women, is moving in a positive direction. I'm just curious, Mark, because I know this is going to resonate with some people, what you've said. What do you think we need to do to get the women's football game on a level that's more equal with the men in terms of prize money and attention?
The issue you'll always hear, first and foremost, is that people don't want to go to it. You won't have people that are interested in the women's game without investing. And then investing takes time to then reach where you're producing players at a younger level that eventually, by the time they get to the top, they are 10% better than what we had 5 years before. You can't do that without money, but you can't get money without people going. But people won't go because they're not interested. It's a recurring circle. I've been using this theory for years, and I'd like to say it makes sense. So I think we need to keep investing. I like that we 50-50 equal split the national team players on both the men and women's. Doesn't affect the men that much. For the women, it's hugely beneficial to them, and it gives an extra motive to play better. So essentially, to then summarize, you need to keep putting in money at lower levels like we are. The women at lower levels, at junior levels, are fantastic. And that needs to continue so that we can keep building better players, which is therefore more interesting. Extend the amount of time that the league goes on for, 13 games, and then a final series is not enough. It's not enough for them. And it's the reason why people jump around clubs so, so much more than the men. And that already happens a lot itself. So if you can get some stability and you can finally get some money into it, you'll produce better players and it'll keep happening. And I think you'll eventually get a roll-on effect.
Cristiano Ronaldo. He's recently transferred from Juventus and he's returned to his team, the EPL League, Manchester United. Do you have any thoughts on that really quickly?
He brings this professionalism, this mentality at 36 and a half years old that is unmatched. He is so good for the game. He's made Manchester United a competitive force again based on expectations. And it has brought so much attention. There was 8.6 million viewers of his first game where he scored a brace. That's two goals. It's so good for the league. It will raise the level of players. There are players in 2004 who were 8 years old learning some of his skills who are now playing alongside him as he's returned. And the fact that some players were 8 years old and are now mature internationals, it's a testament to hard work. And I think it's fantastic for English football and Manchester United.
Absolutely. It's always exciting to see those matchups, whatever sport is, young versus old. And Mark, what does the future look like for football for the fans?
Football for the fans is growing at a rate of about 10 to 15 subscribers every stream, which equates to be about, you know, one or two every hour that we are on. And I like that. It is clearly harder for live streams to get into the algorithm of people on YouTube. I have to put live stream in my YouTube title so that, you know, people look up Manchester United Ronaldo live stream and happen to click on my video. Maybe they like it. So obviously it is a bit more difficult, but I've started to create more videos about the Fantasy Premier League. So of course, a game based upon real life performance where you have a budget and each player is set at a price. So I've decided to do more content on that. If I had more time on my hands, which I don't at the moment, I would be doing more prediction-based videos, more wrap-up-based videos of what's happening around the world, news. I used to do that, but it was too hard to maintain with everything else going on. But I think I will try and find a way to do that, bring that back, because I think there's potential there. Otherwise, the live streams are only going to get better as COVID goes away for us here in Sydney. No one's allowed in the house. Once I can invite people back and I can start doing discussions and perhaps people, you know, not just my friends, but people who want to be on the channel are willing to put their neck out there and give a brash opinion that people are happy to debate in comments or here around my table, I would love that. That will build content and a following for sure. So that's the future. But in the end, if I can bring even five people who are watching at 3 a.m. in the morning a bit of happiness while watching a game that they can't get while watching the game, without me, I would appreciate that and I will always keep doing it.
So, Mark, what advice would you give to people about following their passions?
My passion is sport, more specifically football. And I would encourage anybody that has a passion to play, to be a physio for a team, to be a commentator, an analyst, a cameraman, a coach, go for it. Germany has proved to us, specifically RB Leipzig and Bayern Munich, has proved to us that you can be a coach at any age. You don't have to retire after being a player and you can make it. You can be an analyst. It's been proven by anybody in the plethora of talent we have across many leagues that you can be there and giving your opinion. And there's sponsored shows on YouTube where people are paid to give their opinion and they've never been a player before. Go after it. Train hard. Keep working. Stay up late if you have to. But make sure you always put your best foot forward. Always present yourself in the right way. Take every opportunity that you can. For example, me finding a Facebook post about being a stadium announcer, and now I'm technically a paid commentator. So keep going with there. My next step is to try and move into Australia's actual semi-professional league, the NPL, National Premier League, and I will grasp it. I will contact everybody that I need to contact. I'll keep making the connections I need to keep making, but I hope anybody listening along, whether that your passion is football or it's cooking or it's building or it's anything, can do the same thing.
Mark, where can people listening to this podcast go to learn more about the work that you do?
Open up a new tab or have this playing on your podcast app in the background. You can go into YouTube and search Football 4TF. That's football, one word, 4TF, the second word. It stands for Football for the Fans. You'll see my sort of greenish logo. You can find my channel there, subscribe. I'm doing live streams in Australian time every Saturday night for the Premier League. And if I can find the time to do Champions League coming up at 5 a.m. in the morning, those games start, then I will. So you can either search Mark DiPoli or, again, Football for the Fans. You can find me there. So if you'd like to come along, even if you could just leave a like or even subscribe, I'd appreciate that. The road to 300 subscribers is on. And while you're there, make sure you leave a like and a follow and a subscribe. Whatever else, I don't use podcast apps too much, but whatever else you can on the Passion Effect, make sure you share it around at the very least.
We hope that the YouTube channel continues to grow. So thanks for coming on.
The feeling is mutual. I know how successful this podcast is. And once again, it's an honor to be here. But thank you very much for having me.
Well, what an inspiring conversation. But how can we actually apply these ideas from this episode? Here are my three key takeaways that I learned from this episode. The first takeaway for me was the benefit of building a portfolio of work to improve your skills in a career or area of interest. As Mark mentioned, he started his YouTube channel, Football for the Fans, as a way to develop his commentating skills and build a portfolio of work. It's also, in my opinion, a great networking tool. It allowed Mark to meet and interview people within the football community, such as commentators Craig Foster and Simon Hill, for example. The second key takeaway that I gained was that sport can be a vehicle to unify people together and also a positive force to drive humanitarian and political issues. Mark mentioned Craig Foster's impact on Australian football and social justice. Think about how you can apply similar principles in your own life. Maybe you have a passion for music. Is there a way that you can share music with loved ones or teach it to other people? Maybe you have a passion for cooking. You could bake something and then sell it to raise money for a cause you're really passionate about. And finally, my third key takeaway is the importance of understanding people's stories. As we saw, the stories behind each player is a really important aspect of Mark's commentary. Understanding people's stories and perspectives can make for a really interesting conversation. So next time you're in a conversation, don't be afraid to ask questions and learn about other people's perspectives. So there you have it. Those are my three key takeaways from this episode. Let me know on Instagram what yours are. If you haven't already, make sure you're following The Passion Effect on Instagram at The Passion Effect Podcast, and remember to subscribe to the podcast on Spotify. But don't stop there. The world needs people like you spreading important messages about passion and purpose. So share this episode with friends or family if you enjoyed it. As always, I'm your host, Jack Pittman, and until next time, keep following your passions.